All right, welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. I'm joined by a pair of senior writers, ESPN's Jackie McMullen, of course, in studio with me, Undefeated's Mark Spears. So coming up in a few minutes, we'll get into the Celtics trading four-time All-Star Kemba Walker. But first, let's get right into last night's action. The Bucks won Game 6 by 15 points and led wire-to-wire over KD and the Nets. The series now shifts back to Brooklyn for a Game 7 tomorrow night. The Bucks got incredible performances from Giannis and especially Chris Middleton. Jrue Holiday didn't have the most efficient night, but certainly contributed in a meaningful way. Let's take a look at the numbers of the big three there. 89 points combined. Match, get ready, took care of Brooklyn last night. Over 89 points together. So, Mark, I'll start with you. What did the Bucks do differently last night?
You know, we talked to Kareem, what was it, a day or two ago? And Kareem said that they couldn't win. But I think what happened is Giannis was his inner Kareem. That's why they won. He was in the paint. He didn't shoot outside of an average of 5 feet, and he dominated there. He was 11 of his 12 shots that he made were in the paint. There were no three-pointers. To me, this is when Giannis is at his best. Stay away from the perimeter. It's not your strength yet. Be the grown man that he is and finish up. And it reminded me of when we were in the bubble. They had that OT loss to your Heat in the second round, but he had like 19 points in 11 minutes before he sprained his ankle. He has to play that way for them to move forward in this series.
Jackie?
Well, I agree with you, Mark, but I think one of the reasons that Giannis was able to live in the paint was because his partner, Chris Middleton, had it going from the perimeter. And you know what that's like. You can pack in the paint if you're not worried about somebody else knocking down all those shots. Here's the conundrum for the Milwaukee Bucks, though. Look at the numbers Chris Middleton has put up at home. They're absolutely stunning how good they are. The points per game, the 50% three-point shooting. But when he gets on the road, those numbers go down to 26% from the three-point line. All the numbers dip. So to me, this was as much to do as just familiarity of home cooking for the Bucks, feeling comfortable. And then that opens everything up for Giannis to go do his thing.
Yeah, look, I think defensively, they were really incredible. I mean, I think it's now the third time in this series that they've held them under 100 points. And they really got going in transition because of their defense. They had 12 steals, 6 blocks. It got them easy buckets. And against this Brooklyn team, yeah, you got to try to defend at a high level, but you got to get the easy ones. And Giannis, 15 shots in the paint. That's what he needs. Yeah. That's what he needs to be doing. That's his game, Mark. If he does that, they're in great shape.
Well, KD's good, though.
Yeah.
And as the Hall of Famer mentioned, they're going back home. Brooklyn's going to be an absolute madhouse. I think the guy I'm watching is James Harden now. Like, what is he going to be?
Right.
What is he going to be in Game 7? How does his body feel? He looked better, but this will be three games in 5 days for him as well. So, I don't think KD could do it by himself, but I expect him to be special.
Jackie, do you believe that this Bucks team can get over this hump that they've had to deal with, right? All these playoff disappointments. Are they capable now of doing this after what you've seen through the playoffs?
Well, I think they're capable of it. But they're going up against a team that I know is shorthanded, but is still one of the most historically potent offensive teams we've seen. And you mentioned James Harden, Mark. He's gotten a little better incrementally, right? Every game, you know, from the past two games, he looked a little more comfortable. I expect for a Game 7, with everything on the line, he's going to be driving to the hole more. He's going to draw attention, and then he's going to dish. He's been an incredible facilitator for them, but I expect him to take on a little more of the offensive role. I just can't see Brooklyn, after all they've been through, in Game 7, dropping a game there in their building. I can't see it. I'm taking the Nets.
Okay, fair enough. We'll get further into our predictions on this series in a little bit. But first, our Adrian Wojnarowski reports that the Celtics are trading four-time All-Star point guard Kemba Walker to the Thunder for Al Horford, young center Moses Brown. And, of course, the 31-year-old Walker spent the last two seasons in Boston, missed the final two playoff games in Boston's losses to Brooklyn. So here's a full look at the trade, including the draft picks that are involved here. So, Jackie, what's your reaction to all this?
Well, I'm not super shocked. I think it was time for Kemba Walker to move on from Boston. It's a shame, really. I think everybody had such high hopes. If he hadn't been injured, I think he would have been the perfect antidote to Kyrie Irving leaving. He was so positive in the locker room. The young guys really liked and appreciated him, but he was never be able to fulfill his job there because he was injured all the time. If you're the Celtics, you move on from Walker, you get rid of some of that $73 million salary, and you take on Al Horford's salary, which is around $41 million, $53 million if it's fully guaranteed, which it may or may not be. And what that does is it gives you the opportunity to re-sign Evan Fournier. Now, they only got a quick look at Fournier because of COVID problems after they acquired him, but he's part of their future, and now you're able to afford him by shedding some of the salary. And don't sleep on Moses Brown. Moses Brown is a nice young two-way player that can also help them. I will tell you this, all this movement tells me that they're not done. I wouldn't be surprised if they package one of the bigs and maybe even Marcus Smart and to go out and get themselves an accomplished point guard. They need another point guard now on their roster.
If I recall correctly, Moses Brown had a 2020 game against the Celtics this year.
Yeah.
And Brad Stevens, obviously, as
yes,
the coach,
did.
Saw that. So, Mark, do you believe this is a math game or it is an equation or a chemistry experiment about what's happening on the floor? Or could it be both?
Well, first of all, let me say this about Kemba. Every time we beat up these players about making a decision to go somewhere, he decided to go to Boston.
Right.
He expected to be a star there for a long time, and now he's going to Oklahoma City. With all due respect to Oklahoma City, I'm sure he's disappointed.
Right. They're,
so the next
they're
time
rebuilding.
People want to beat up these stars for making decisions, here's another example.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the lead that's buried from the Celtics in their press release. Not even in the headline or the subhead, Moses Brown. I'm really excited about this pick for him. He had 17 15-plus rebound games last season, most by any player 21 or younger. He averaged 12.5 points, 12 rebounds in March, and in his last game with the Thunder against the Clippers on May 16th, he had 24 points, 18 rebounds, and 7 blocks.
Right.
They got a cheap diamond in the rough, a center that they could probably groom and have for a long, long time. So I think that was a sneaky little addition to the Celtics trade.
Jackie, let me ask you, does this mean, I know you mentioned that there could be more moves. You mentioned they may move some more bigs. Does this mean that Time Lord's time could be up in Boston?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. There's also Tristan Thompson on the roster, Jorge. So I think he's more of a candidate. I don't think they're ready to give up on Robert Williams just yet. You know, we haven't even mentioned Horford in this deal. Now, I've said this 1,000 times. For 90% of the players in the NBA, it's all about fit. Al Horford fit when he was in Boston. They did not move on from him. He moved on from them, as you know, went to Philadelphia. It was a terrible fit. Now that Horford's back in Boston, and again, we have to see about his knee because he's had some knee trouble, I envision him at playing the five in some points. So it'll be interesting to see as they go forward. I don't think the roster that they have at this exact moment will be the roster that they'll start with next fall. It doesn't make sense to me. One of those bigs has got to go.
All right, let's move on to the OKC aspect of this. Sam Presti and the Thunder now possess 18 first-round picks through the year 2027. Yes, you heard that right. 18, okay? They hit the reset, and they definitely hit the reset hard, okay? So, Mark, what is Presti going to do with all these assets?
Man, I can't see Kemba playing there.
No. So they're going to flip him, too, probably, soon.
Eventually. The Lakers, man, why not try to go after Kemba?
I've said this, and people on radio here have killed me for that.
To me, it makes a lot of sense. Kuzma's already looks like he's on his way out.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. But, yeah, I'm looking for some of these this treasure chest to get moved this summer.
Jackie, is there something to be said about maybe having too many assets? I mean, in Boston, they at one time had a ton of assets, too. And if you look back at what they got for some of those assets, you know, they didn't get as much as maybe one would have hoped.
Well, and you know why that is because the assets change when they're this far out. For instance, remember at the time the Celtics had a Memphis draft pick. Everybody thought that was going to be in the top five.
Yep.
Not so fast. Memphis had a bunch of young players that made them much better than expected. But I'm sure Sam Presti's aware of that.
I think Sam will be okay with his extra draft picks. He may control the entire draft, I feel like, one year. It'll just literally be OKC logos the entire way down. All right. Coming up, rapper and diehard Wizards fan Wale is going to join us. We'll talk Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, and, of course, Washington's coaching search. So James Harden had 16 points in 40 minutes in Game 6. So, Jackie, what are your expectations for Harden in Game 7?
You know, I just think he's going to be more active, more involved. Remember now, Durant and Kyrie, they got theirs. This dude does not. He wants to get to the NBA Finals. I think he's feeling a little better every time they've been able to work on him 24/7. I'm not saying he's going to be vintage James Harden, but I think they'll get enough out of him. At worst, he's the greatest decoy ever. At worst.
Mark, what do you think?
Well, I hope Jackie's right. I want to see the best from James Harden in this game. I don't want to see him limping, moving up and down the court slow, but KD is amazing in Game 7. He averaged 33. He's 55% from the field. He'll lead them there. If they're going to win, it has to be KD that has to put this team on his back.
He definitely, though, Harden looked like he was warming up yesterday, even in a loss. I think he was getting loose, and that's not good for the Bucks. Welcome back. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols. Jackie McMullen is back with us. Of course, Mark Spears is in studio with us here as well. Zach Lowe will join us in just a moment. But all right, let's get to the best two words in sports. Game 7. The Bucks and Nets are set to play in a loser leaves town match tomorrow at Barclays Center. So, Mark, I'll start with you. Who has the edge entering this particular game?
I kind of alluded to it earlier. I should have waited to talk about this, but, man, KD in Game 7s is amazing. He's played in four of them, averages 33 a game. He's had 40.5 points the past two games. I expect him to be special. I think Jay-Z and Beyonce probably be in the house. It's going to be an electric atmosphere with the Nets, and certainly emotional night for some of their longtime fans. I guess they have some longtime fans, right? To get the Nets to a place they haven't been since Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin were around. So, no, I expect KD to lead them there.
Jackie?
So I'm just trying to calculate how many points Jay-Z and Beyonce are worth, Mark. What do you think? I'm not sure.
Six points.
No, but your point is a good one. The atmosphere is going to be electric there. And I, you know, someone we haven't mentioned, Joe Harris has had an up and down series. He strikes me as a guy who is the leading three-point field goal percentage shooter in the NBA this year. I think he's going to come up big in this game, in Game 7, because as great as KD was, that 48-minute performance is one I'll never forget. You can't ask him to do that again. He needs a little more help. I think he's going to get it.
Jackie, let me ask you this. How much pressure is on Giannis right now? Because we've talked about some of their playoff failures in the past, but you know, we've seen a lot of these guys, right, where sometimes they rise to the occasion. We saw Paul George do it the other night in the situation without Kawhi. But Giannis is a different level. We're talking about a guy who's a two-time MVP. What kind of pressure is he feeling going into this game?
Well, I'm sure he's feeling a tremendous amount, and I feel for Giannis in this regard. We talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's the most versatile player in the game today. He can beat you a whole bunch of different ways, off the dribble, from the three-point line, driving to the basket. Giannis is a big man, and we've already established that he needs to do all his damage in the paint. It's a lot harder to dominate a game when you're playing a power forward position like Giannis is and asking others to help get you the ball in the right spot. And so I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him. But I will ask you guys this question. If they lose to the Brooklyn Nets, is that a colossal failure?
What do you think, Mark?
A really, really talented Brooklyn Nets team? Is that a colossal failure?
Kyrie's not there, and James Harden isn't 100%, so yes, I believe so.
And they're healthy. Yeah. Right. I mean, they're missing Dante DiVincenzo, but their big three is healthy.
And I got a question, too.
Okay.
Do we have a signature moment for Giannis? This can be it.
Yeah.
And I can't think of one. Maybe a Hall of Famer knows better. I can't think of a signature moment for him in his career. This is his opportunity. Knock off KD. Knock off the Nets in Brooklyn, get the Bucks to the East Finals. We'll remember this about Giannis, maybe a breakthrough moment in his career. I think tomorrow night is a night where he could shut up a lot of people, including probably myself. where he could take a step forward in terms of being one of the elite stars in the league.
And the recipe's there. We saw it in game six, right? Attack, attack, attack the basket. Don't let them 100%. Off the hook by shooting threes. It's not your bag, man. Like, just go out there and do what got you those MVPs, because the minute you take a three when you're Giannis, Brooklyn's like, whew, thank God he did that. So don't do that. Just put the pressure on them.
So true.
All right, let's move on here to the Dallas Mavericks.
Very true.
Who've certainly had an eventful week, to say the least. On Monday, reports surfaced that Luka Doncic is being unhappy with Bob Bulgaris and his role in the front office. On Wednesday, longtime general manager Donnie Nelson parted ways with the franchise. Then yesterday, Rick Carlisle left the organization after 13 seasons and leading the franchise to its only title back in 2011. Then today, it was announced that Dirk Nowitzki is rejoining the Mavericks organization as a special advisor. He'll assist in the GM and head coaching searches, as well as consult for other front office decisions. So, Jackie, after years of stability, what do you make of all this turnover in Dallas?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? It was definitely a domino, I think, starting with, you mentioned Bulgaris, and I think that was a problem for Luka. And yet we also know that at times Luka and Rick Carlisle clashed. We saw evidence of that throughout the year. I believe Rick when he says this was his decision. I think he just thought, you know what? Sometimes it's time to go. This is time for me. I don't think he'll be unemployed very long. I think he's one of the more respected coaches in the league, and I think he'll have a chance to coach elsewhere. For the Mavericks, you've got to find a way to complement Luka's talents. Now, do you trade Porzingis? I would certainly entertain it. But can you get what you thought you could get for him a year ago? No, because clearly he's had trouble staying healthy. He doesn't move the same. He used to be a dominant defensive player. He is hardly that now. So I'm interested to see going forward, starting with Porzingis, what they do about him.
Here's an idea, Mark, and Jackie, I'd love to get your thoughts after Mark goes here. How about Kemba? For KP, for Porzingis. We know Oklahoma City's going to try to flip Kemba eventually.
Well, I mean, that would help Porzingis' ego. He could go somewhere and be the guy finally. You know, he'd enjoy that, I guess. But in terms of Dallas, I think with Dirk being in the position now, I think they'll do things in-house. I think Jamal Mosley would be a great pick. He has a phenomenal relationship with Doncic. He's a great communicator, great relationships. He holds the players accountable. I expect Jason Kidd to be in that mix too. Mm-hmm. Talked to him recently. I think he's improved dramatically as a coach, learning a lot from Vogel, and he's ready. But here's the thing. Is Cuban going to get out of the way? Is he going to let Dirk do his thing? Can he bring Finley up and maybe let Mike Finley be the GM? He's certainly deserving, paid his dues. But ultimately, are you really the GM there if Cuban behind the scenes is pulling all the strings? And that's what I've heard from a couple GMs, or former GMs, I mean, in terms of that position. It looks attractive, but ultimately you feel like you'll probably be a figurehead there because Cuban is the one that makes the decisions.
Well, we'll see how it all pans out for sure. It is going to be an interesting summer in the NBA, but especially in Big D. All right, let's talk about the DMV. Wale is going to join us on the other side. Grammy-nominated artist. Got a new single out. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about his Wizards. All coming up. Stick around here on The Jump.
This is the true story.
True story.
Of 17 strangers
picked to play on a team.
We're all adults.
Work together.
I can't do you guys' job. You guys can't do my job.
And have their lives taped.
That's frustrating.
Find out what happens
when people stop being polite.
And start getting Bill.
What a dog.
The Bill World.
D.C.
Yeah, nobody better to talk about Beal World than our next guest here, diehard Wizards fan from the DMV, who also happens to be a Grammy-nominated multi-platinum recording artist. Welcome to The Jump, Wale. How are you, sir?
What's up? Good afternoon.
All right, man. Good afternoon. Now, look, thank you for being here, but what can you tell us about your new single, Angles? Tell us about that.
Oh, man, we just kicking the summer off, right? You know what I'm saying? It's how we're going to start off the summer because we back outside now.
Well, speaking of angles, I see that angle you got with that shirt on. Mike Brown today.
Man. I was about to get my little morning like runner on, you know. I just got to throw this on for good luck.
Yeah, tell us about how you got the T-shirt.
Well, they sent it to me and a whole bunch of other good things. You know, I'm always supporting my boys in Nigeria. And just the whole like NBA and Africa movement as a whole, you know what I'm saying? This is, you know, like it's an important thing. This is something that I kind of never really envisioned that would happen. You know what I'm saying? So, and they gave me enough for the shirts that I just always work out.
That's cool. Wale, your Wizards, by the way, as we get back to basketball here in the States, just parted with their head coach, Scott Brooks. So what type of coach are you looking for to replace Scott
Brooks? Man, I just want, we got great owners. We got great owners in the Leonis. I just want anybody that Brad and Russ like.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep those two together, and we can start from there.
Well, I also wanted to ask you about Beal and Westbrook. How does that work long term? And I don't know if you've spoken to either one of them.
I haven't talked to Beal in a minute. I talked to Brad. I mean, I've talked to Russ when, at the end of the season, but. I think they can work. I think that system can work. You know what I'm saying? But I would personally like to see somebody like a Sam Cassell or you know, there's a lot of potential black coaches that need opportunity in the NBA. And I think that's really important. I know Sam Cassell used to work as an assistant with the Wizards. So it'd be cool to see him. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, those two guys is like the heart and soul of the team. And that'd be just good to see them stick together.
Yeah, I went into the archives and I saw KD. Does Kevin Durant have some bars, man? And tell us about your relationship
with
him.
KD, don't sleep on KD. He can rap, man. He used to have a studio. I recorded some joints on my album a couple years ago when he lived in Oklahoma. And that wasn't in there for nothing now.
Yeah. What do you think he's done in the playoffs, and what do you see from him in the Game 7?
I think it's his time. It's his time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's already showed the world that he's fully bounced back. And you know what I'm saying? He's playing out of his mind. I think it was game five when he had 49. Somebody on Twitter man, he's gonna drop 50. Somebody was like, he's gonna drop 50. And I saw the comments like, yeah, right. And I was like, I think he's gonna drop 50 tonight. He dropped 49, but it felt like 50.
So when you were watching him drop that 49, take us through what you were going through at home watching your friend play like that.
So I got into the studio, they were down by 15 points. So I was like, man, I don't know. And then it just like went like this in the fourth quarter. He just started playing out of his mind. But the thing is, I seen him do that so many times before. I seen him do it at Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I seen him do it at the Goodman. I seen him do it at Rutgers. He just turned that into the Goodman League. That's what he turned it into.
I love it. Wale, before we let you go, man, I gotta ask, do you have an NBA Finals prediction?
The best team.
It's tough.
I think a healthy Brooklyn is I think a healthy Brooklyn wins it. A healthy Brooklyn, but I don't. Will we get a healthy Brooklyn? I don't know.
What about out west?
I would love me personally. I think a lot of true basketball fans want to see Chris Paul get a chip. To be honest,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying. And then, you know, just for the chaos of the timeline, a small market team to win it. You know what I'm saying? Just for the chaos. But you know my boys, man, KD, Kyrie, you know, Harden, you know what I'm saying? It's almost bad when you got so many friends in the league because you just want everybody to win. You know what I'm saying? But
no doubt.
I think a healthy Brooklyn wins it.
All right.
No doubt. Well, listen, thank you so much for stopping by, Wale, man. Also, make sure to all our fans, check out Wale's new single, Angles, wherever you are. Get you on your phone, buy it on your phone, stream it on your music app, or whatever you got to do, get you this single. Wale, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. There he is. There's Wale. Boss. And make sure you get Angles on your streaming app or buy it somewhere. All right, coming up. We'll discuss what it takes for the Sixers to force a Game 7. Oh boy, it's going to be interesting. Keep it locked. You're watching The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, and for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. Jackie Mack is back with us. Mark Spears is still here in L.A. with me. And another of our senior writers has joined us here, the host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe. Zach, I did my best impersonation of the voiceover lady, the lovely voiceover lady for your wonderful podcast. Not great. I just gave it a shot, okay? I put myself out there. All right, let's move on here. The Sixers are facing elimination tonight after blowing significant leads, to say the least, against the Hawks in each of the last two games. So, Zach, let's start with you. Fill in the blank for me here. The Sixers force a game seven if...
they just chill out and play. They've been the better team all year. They're the better team right now. We with Embiid's knee injury. They've had these huge leads in two straight games, and their offense has gone completely haywire late in games. Do the Hawks deserve some credit for that? Absolutely, especially without DeAndre Hunter. Some of their wing defenders are underrated. Clint Capella's great. Obviously, John Collins has made some of the best defensive plays of his life in this series. But the Sixers just go haywire late in games. They need to just play. They need to play. They need to get Ben Simmons going in transition. And maybe even in the half court, he just can't be an afterthought sitting in the dunker spot the way he's been. And beyond that, just play, just chill. And maybe they've got to figure something out with those bench minutes because they're getting slaughtered when Embiid is off the floor. I stopped looking up the plus minus for Embiid because it hurts my eyes. It gets worse and worse and worse every time, every game. He's so plus like a million and minus a million when he sits. They need to clean that up.
Well, I just got a text.
Okay.
From agent dad Terrell Harris.
Okay.
Who's his son? Tobias Harris.
Right.
I said, what needs to happen? Because he texted me this morning. He's upset. He said, in terms of his son, give him the dang ball.
Okay.
And check up. That's it. That's what he said is the key for the Sixers. Obviously, he's a little biased with his son. And he's certainly animated, but he feels like his son could help push the team, the Sixers, over into the next game. And but I'm with Zach, man. This team is too good. They've been playing too many games with the Hawks, with all due respect to the Hawks and the amazing job that Nate McMillan is doing. And if I'm a team from another a job open from another team, I'm calling Nate. I ain't waiting for the Hawks to figure this out. But the Sixers just have to be the Sixers, win the game, and they still should be able to overcome Ice Trey and company.
Jackie?
So I just think you guys aren't giving the Hawks enough credit for what's going on here. So those comebacks aren't easy, and these young shooters on that team are coming through in big, big moments. So if the Sixers are gonna win, first of all, I do agree with Tobias's dad. He's gotta drop at least 20 because they need someone besides Joel Embiid to score points. And Zach, while I agree with you, it would be great to get Simmons going in transition and to have him score in other ways. It almost feels like that train has left the station, at least in this series. But if I really wanted to clamp down, I'd start making it difficult for those young Hawk players to make big shots. I'd be a little more physical, and I'd put a little more heat on them, make it more difficult for them to change momentum the way they have throughout this series.
Jackie, I think you're absolutely right. Like, we are not giving them enough credit. But look, the one seed being down is definitely the story in this regard. But let me ask you guys this. Jackie, I'll start with you here. You know, Zach kind of alluded to this, right? Like, get Ben Simmons more involved in get him some easy looks near the basket, not necessarily just at the dunker spot, like Zach said. And how about, and I'm not trying to put Doc out there necessarily, but we know they're going to foul him intentionally. So when they're fouling him intentionally, shouldn't the team be more aggressive, going to the paint, trying to get more fouls on Atlanta, and then getting themselves in the bonus quicker, maybe changing their substitution patterns a little bit so Ben can sit when that happens, when they get into the bonus, give him his rest there a little bit, and then Philly can get in a little bit of a pattern there and get some momentum going there.
Those are all good suggestions, George. I will say this too. We've hit on it, all of us have. Ben Simmons is one of the most dangerous players in the open floor in the league. And why not try to find a way to get him those looks early on? Because I don't care who you are in the NBA, if your confidence starts to slip in any facet of your game, and clearly his confidence is suffering a bit here when you talk about at the free throw line, how do you get your confidence back? You get easy baskets. You get things that make you comfortable. So get out and run and get Ben Simmons the ball and let him finish in transition. That would be a good way to get him going again.
Well, you have to get stops to get out and run, and that's the other thing that happened in the second half the other day, is that they didn't get enough stops, and if you don't get stops, you can't run, and if you can't run, Ben Simmons is reduced to a spectator in the half court. Look, Ben Simmons is guarding Trae Young, and he's doing an amazing job on an amazing player who got 17 free throws the other night. Incredible stuff by Trae Young. But the Hawks don't want Trae Young guarding Ben Simmons, which means when they're in transition, whoever is near Ben Simmons that's not Trae Young is going to take him. Sometimes that's Bogdan Bogdanovic or Kevin Huerter. Sometimes Trae Young is stuck. That's when Ben Simmons has to be a bully, go right at the rim. And if the Sixers can just get 14, 16 points out of him, it makes all the difference in the world. And I think that will be an emphasis right away tonight. I expect a lot of Ben Simmons somewhere or other early in the game. And if I don't see it, I'm going to start sweating a little bit on Philly's behalf.
Mark, he's an incredible player, as we've all talked about here. You know, Zach alluded to his defense specifically on Trae Young. What do you need to see from him?
Look, I want to talk about Trae.
Okay. You don't want to talk about you don't want to talk about Ben. Okay, go ahead.
This is Trae's moment too.
Okay.
I talked about Giannis's moment.
Absolutely.
This is Trae's moment. He's at home. He's in Atlanta. He's the biggest thing in Atlanta since Dominique Wilkins. He has the city in his hands right now. It's the hottest thing, hottest ticket going. People are in love with Hawks basketball again. Trae, this is his time. And I expect him to be sensational tonight and take the city by storm. This is his time to push himself into elite stratosphere in the league. And when I think before the playoffs, they just saw him as another player who was a former All-Star and didn't make it again. This is Trae's time to really, really elite himself.
To your point, and I know everyone's alluded to this as well in this discussion about Atlanta, but you know, certainly Nate deserves credit. Travis Link deserves credit for building this team. Yeah. Do you believe that this could be a destination? Now that we've seen them get to this, if they win, is this now? Atlanta's never really been a destination, but can Trae and this group make it a destination?
I talked to famed rapper Killer Mike recently, and he said he doesn't understand how a city that's predominantly black with players that are predominantly black, and you go to games and they're predominantly black, how they can't attract a lot of black players that come. But he felt like that was changing, that Trae is going to make this change. What the Hawks are doing are going to make this change. Now, Atlanta's been known for having too many distractions.
Right.
Which perhaps is a problem for families making a decision to go there or not. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Killer Mike said that as well. But, yeah, they still got to solidify the coach, right? I think it's a no-brainer to take care of Nate McMillan, give him his money, but – yeah, this is an interesting place for free agents now.
All right, let's get to the coaching carousel since you mentioned Nate McMillan. We were talking about Rick Carlisle earlier, who is the latest to join that coaching carousel that we have here. Excellent work by the graphics team. There are now seven openings here, including Dallas. So, Mark, is there any opening that you think Carlisle might be a good fit for?
You know, I would, and I should lean at a Hall of Famer here, I typically say Boston, but there's a different regime than when Rick Carlisle was there, so perhaps Indiana, I think, going back to the Pacers is the best place for him.
All right. Jackie?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of the lists that could make it work for Rick Carlisle. He's especially good with tutoring young players. Orlando looks like a good fit to me. I think Boston really is very stuck on the idea that they need to be a more diverse front office and a more diverse coaching staff, and I really expect them to hire a coach of color. And so I don't expect Rick Carlisle to land there, but he won't be out of work long if he doesn't want to be.
Jackie's right about Boston. I think our graphics people, we need to have one of the coaches sliding down the ramp that bags come out on the baggage cart. And Rick Carlisle is a fantastic championship-winning coach, an elite tactician. You could just start naming teams all over the NBA. Anyone could use Rick Carlisle. Almost anyone, he'd be an upgrader. He's a great coach. He'll land somewhere, and that team will be lucky to have him.
Zach Lowe, you are a great NBA insider and a great person, but that suggestion right there, I mean, first of all, we're in L.A., and LAX, that's exactly what happens, okay? The carousel comes down and slides down. Excellent work out of you, Zach Lowe. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, I do what I can.
All right, there he is, the Low Post Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and download. Coming up, we'll make our game picks for Clippers Jazz, Game 6 tonight. It's crunch time here on The Jump as we move along. Mike Conley continue to be sidelined as the Jazz dropped the pivotal Game 5 at home. Woj says He's progressing towards playing tonight. So, Mark, how much of a difference can Mike Conley make for the Jazz?
Amazing difference. There's no team that Conley had more success with against during the regular season than the Clippers. He averaged 24.5 points per game, almost 5 3-pointers a game. I see him also being a big-time leader. He's played in big environments. Yeah, no, this is a huge addition for the Jazz if he plays.
This is like making a huge trade, big blockbuster trade at the trade deadline if they get Mike Conley back. One thing that's held Utah down when they're not playing well, it's when the ball isn't moving. Mike Conley comes back into this lineup. He starts running the pick and roll. He starts getting the ball to zip around. He's another guy that can hit open shots. And I haven't even talked about how he can defend.
Yeah.
This is a huge, huge difference for Utah if he can come back.
All right,
sure.
Let's talk more about Game 6 tonight here in L.A. for the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell is progressing to be a game-time decision with his ankle, according to Woj. Kawhi is out tonight as he battles his knee issues. It is an elimination game. So, Mark, who you got, Jazz or the Clippers?
Man, I'm going with the Clip Show.
Uh-oh, Clip City, Chip City. Oh, shout out, man, to Marcellus Wiley somewhere.
They can't go 0-9. In closeout opportunities to go to the Western Conference Finals, man.
I mean, they could, but you don't think they will.
The Jazz's injuries are too much to overcome right now. I don't know what Conley will be. He hasn't played in a while. This is Paul George's moment. I was told they're just telling him to be him, and he's a better player when he's the number one option. The Clippers take him there, and Clipper Darryl can finally have tears of joy.
Mark. They wouldn't be the Clippers unless it went to a Game 7. Come on, you know this as well as I do.
You're right.
I think Conley back, even again, if he can't do a ton, makes a big difference for them. Even if he's not getting 15 tonight, I just think his presence opens up the floor, gets things moving. And Donovan Mitchell, he's a gamer too. You mentioned Paul George. Watch out for Donovan Mitchell. I'm taking the Jazz.
He's gimpy, right, though. My man's gimpy. I wish Spider was 100.
I'm going to steal this from Charles Barkley, who I heard say this on TNT, and he's right. They better not get to a Game 7 if you're the Clippers. You do not want to go back to Utah. So shout out to you, Charles. I stole your line. I do think the Clippers win. I think this is Paul George's moment. He's had three straight 30-point games. And if you're going to get Mike Conley in his first game back, it's probably time to get him. Thanks to everyone for watching. Thanks to Jackie, Mark, and Zach. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Rachel. We'll be back. Or Monday. Rachel will be back. See you.